we're going to start with John Ring, Stephen Kinsler and Scott De Bertler from Tinder Point. Delighted to have you here, John. Thank you so much for coming back.
Hi,
John Ring from Tinder Point. Just for anybody who missed the programme last week, tell me about Tinder Point. What do you do?
We're a digital marketing agency. We specialise in search marketing, and we help companies to basically to grow their business online, both in Ireland and internationally as well.
Right, and almost all business is online now, isn't it?
Pretty much, a lot of it is, all right, yeah.
You can't survive even a sandwich company without...
No, you generally need your social, your media, or your Google rankings and that type of thing, and you basically need all your digital ducks in a row, as it were, yeah. In order to maximise your marketing and your advertising for your business.
This is the second of four programmes or times that John has agreed to come along and help us, the poor unwashed, the plebiscites or plebeians with their electronic stuff. And you've brought somebody new with us this week, Stephen Kinsler. Thank you very much for coming along.
How you doing?
You're head of SEO and content marketing.
That's correct, yeah.
What's that?
So SEO is, it's a process where you improve a website and you ultimately want to get the website to rank within a search engine for keywords that the client would be looking to target.
Okay, now last week we were talking about buying ads and paying a bit of money. Is this the same type of thing?
No, this is slightly different now. So, Richard, last week you discussed the PPC ads and the Google AdWords.
Mm.
So, this is related to the free listings on Google.
Free? Now that's more like it. Great. So, how do we get it for free then?
Well, in simple terms, it's not necessarily free. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into SEO. So, you need to make sure that the content on your website is really, really good. And that does take a bit of time to get right. So the better the content on your website, the more references you'll get from other websites. And ultimately, that's a big factor when it comes to ranking within search engines.
What would be good content? I mean, what do you mean by good content? Pictures of naked ladies, that type of stuff?
That's always good.
Depending on the website. But ultimately, I mean, if you're, just say, for example, if we're looking at an accountant in North Dublin, you want to make sure that the content on your site is very relevant to the people that you're looking to target. So you need to explain the services that you provide.
Mm-hmm.
The people need to have a clear understanding of exactly what you offer. So it's important to publish kind of content on a regular basis as well, and just make sure that content is very valuable to the end user.
Right.
What we're seeing, I guess, at the moment on the internet is a trend started probably by Steve Jobs at Apple, that to make all the content that appears online to be as pretty as possible. So for example, if you start off and you have a small kind of a website and you're looking to grow it and to develop your business there, what has commonly been the case kind of up until around now is that you might sit down every day or every week or every month to write like a page for a blog post, for example, a page of text. What we're seeing now is a massive trend towards glossing up the internet, as it were. So for example, if you are an accountant in the Raheny area, for example, the type of thing that you would that you could put on your site is glossy guides, as well as to list the services which you offer. It might be to use very visually appealing type of content as well to do exactly as Stephen said, because by having it more glossy, it tends to stand out more, and that then helps you to get more references from other sites on the internet. And that is what Google loves, and as a kind of a result of that, when someone goes to Google and they do a search for accountants in Raheny, for example, up your website will pop.
Right. So a glossy thing would be like
a glossy thing. It might be kind of a PDF kind of a document, which is nice, is visually appealing, is easy to scan through and read, as an example. Kind of, you know, an alternative might be a video on tips for businesses when it comes to doing their annual accounts, for example.
That's easier than I thought, actually, putting a video onto your...
It is, but the key is to have it at, is to have the content kind of interesting enough that other people will want to reference it. There's no point in putting the content up on your website just to have it up on your website. If no one references the content, that's not really great for the purposes of ranking well on Google.
So it's no good just, if you're an accountant and Rohini there, just doing a little video of you busily working away really hard with your pencils, really, really sharp.
That helps, I suppose, in so far as that once people get through to your website, then that makes you look good. But I guess what we're talking about is the step just prior to that, which is how to get people through to your website in the first place.
Right. Okay. Make more money or something like that. Something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That'd be it.
Something catchy to that's going to. So this, so the a glossy website is one of the ways. Is there any other? I mean, because that sounds like hard work.
Yeah, I mean, certainly for small businesses, a very good opportunity is with a service from Google called Google My Business. So if people type into Google My Business stuff, they should find that, and it's a free sign up, and it's very easy for company owners to fill out. So you input the data relevant to your company and your map listing as well within Google. And then it's often the case if someone was to do a location-based search, so it might be Accountants Rohini or Accountants in North Dublin, there's a good chance that your listing will show up near the top of the Google rankings.
Right. And that's free?
That's free, yeah.
Google My Business.
Google My Business, yeah.
And you mentioned something there, which I don't know what it is. Google listing, did you say you have to put in your Google listing? What does that mean?
Well, a Google listing is, what I was referring to there is the Google free listings. So if you type in a search within Google, you'll see the AdWords shown up on the top left-hand side and also along the right-hand side. So they're the paid listings that Richard had discussed last week. Now, the free listings that we're discussing now is the ones that are underneath the ads on the left-hand side.
Right.
So they're referred to as the organic rankings or free listings.
God, it's just a whole new language, really, isn't it?
I guess an easy way to think about it is that, you know, if you do a search for a particular term on Google, you have the ads and you have what we call these free listings or the organic rankings, as they're called as well. There's lots of, I mean, there's a whole industry around what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
But really, the kind of the simple way to look at it is that you have a choice of having a mortgage or renting when it comes to your business on the results page of Google. If you, in terms of the ads, that's like you're renting. So once you stop paying, you're kicked out of there by Google. However, with the free listings, as we call them, it's like having a mortgage. So you invest in your website over a very long period of time, at the end of which you hopefully have an asset which generates traffic through to your business, and hopefully you get more sales out of that then. So in the same way as in the real world with renting or having a mortgage, both have their pros and cons. It's the exact same when it comes to the Google, the results page on Google.
Right. Okay. I think this is the kind of thing that you need to be sitting in front of your computer and having a look. Oh, yeah, there's the left, there's the right. I see what they are. So I will say this again at the end, but if people need to, are looking for information and support, do you have a telephone number or an email address that they can? We're not finishing yet under, because usually that's at the end, but we will say it again at the end.
Yeah, sure. I mean, probably the easiest thing is to get us at tinderpoint.com. That's probably just the easiest way to get in touch. Phone number is 485-2611, 485-2611. But to be honest, just the website's probably just the easiest way to see what we do and to get in touch with us that way.
Okay.
Via email there.
Yeah. I had queries from last week, actually. Somebody was doing a B2B service.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they hadn't done their website. They were asking for advice. And could you give any tips to somebody who's... What is a B2B, anyway?
Generally, kind of a business-to-business, as far as I would understand it. So I'm guessing that's what they meant by that. That would be kind of a, the general kind of understanding of that. Well, I mean, the accountant in Rohini is probably a very good example of a B2B business. So generally, if someone is looking for an accountant, there's a good chance that they actually might already be a business. So
right.
An accountant in Rohini offers a B2B service to other businesses perhaps in the area or, you know, kind of around the place. So I guess in terms of tips for them, in terms of if they're thinking it through, well, I guess we've nearly just covered that in so far as that you want a good, glossy, high quality, content rich website, and then you need to look to get as many references from around the internet as possible on that.
Okay.
And if they haven't set up their website yet, I'd strongly recommend that they sit down and plan it out in terms of exactly what pages they want on the site and what content is to be published on each page.
Right.
That's the first thing that a web developer is going to ask them for.
Okay.
Generally speaking, most web developers have the biggest problem, which they generally have, is that they do a website and they can't get paid because the company doesn't actually write the content for the business, because it is it's basically all about the kind of identity of the business, and that's quite hard for a business owner at times, or small business, to sit down and to put in words exactly who they are and what they do, especially if they're doing it for the first time. So that can be the slowest part of the process. So exactly as Stephen said, if you have your content, your text for your website ready in advance of talking to someone to do your website, that's a real kind of a bonus. And another thing as well, kind of oftentimes we get clients coming through to us, they've spent, you know, they have a budget, they spend most of their budget on the website, and then they come to us and they say, oh hi, well, we'd like you to market this on the internet for us, and they've no budget. And that's a very kind of a common problem with companies, from sole traders to large corporations. It's the exact same problem. So really, when you're getting your website done and you're planning to generate more business via your website, I would say it's really important to basically to limit, insofar as you can, the amount of money for web development, because when it comes to advertising and marketing your business, it's very expensive, not because of us, but because the likes of the companies out there, the big companies like the Googles, the Facebooks, the Twitters, they all charge for exposure. So you're going to need to reserve a lot of your funding for that, and to do that well, basically. And that's probably a major kind of a mistake that people make.
Yeah, well, that's good advice at this time of year as well, because it's January, and I know ourselves now in the community hall, we're doing a budget for next year, or we're fine-tuning the budget. And I suppose you do put aside money for a website, all right, but you're saying that you also need a budget, maybe even bigger, for promotion of that website.
Generally speaking, that would be a smart way to do it, and that's not because it's awesome. You know, probably it makes sense for me to say that, because we're in the advertising and the marketing world. But in general, we see this over and over again, that people come to us and they've spent all their money on getting a website done, and it's nice and it's glossy, but then they've no money left to market it. It's like they're at the starting line of the race, that they've done all of the training, but then they show up on the starting line for the race, but they've forgotten their runners.
I think I had that dream.
Yeah, and that's a bit of an issue, really, if you're looking to run a race.
Yeah, I've constantly got no shoes on.
Okay.
What is it about? I need to buy more shoes, maybe.
Slippers are good.
Yeah, well, actually, that does hit on so many companies and people I know who have paid money for a website or done one, and it just sits there, it just doesn't do anything. So that explains that. You've got to put money aside for promoting it. It's no good to just have it. That actually leads on to another question that I had here. A florist in Rohini, she was talking about blogs on her company website, but she said nobody was going anywhere near it, leaving comments or sharing it or anything, so she stopped updating it. She's wondering, Does that signify that she should just ignore it, forget about it? Or
not necessarily, no. What I would probably recommend is, rather than doing kind of short blog posts, maybe spend the time doing one really, really good blog post each month. So a lot of people will tend to maybe just look to publish a blog post every few days. That's not necessarily going to benefit you if it's not getting a lot of traction online. So if they can sit down and kind of spend a bit of time and think of something that's really, really beneficial and that will get shared in kind of the online media space, then that will benefit them in the long term.
Okay, we're talking about a florist. Can you think of anything that, like, what if this person was going to write, spend some time writing a decent piece, What yeah, would
well, it might be something around the idea maybe of Mother's Day gifts, the ideal Mother's Day gift, maybe something around that. Or one thing that we do a lot of is a graphic called infographics. So it's a content piece where we would get a lot of interest and facts about a certain topic, and we'd display it on a really nice graphic, and we'd look to push that out through the likes of social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter, in the hope that some of the bigger websites will pick up on it.
Okay, so if she did spend some time doing a special piece, she could put it on a website, but then she could also put it on a few different other things. Then.
Yeah, as long as it's good enough and it's interesting, then yeah, there's a chance that it will be published on other websites.
Where the trend is, and how basically the Google rankings are essentially working now is that it's a trend towards that you advertise your content, not your business, which is different to how it's previously been. So exactly as Stephen said there, you know, if the florist was to create or to pay for the production of a graphic which contained lots of facts and figures about Mother's Day in Ireland, for example, in terms of where people spend their money, do most people tend to buy flowers for their mother, what type of flowers are most popular for their mother, do what age do you stop buying stuff for your mother at, do you ever stop buying stuff for your mother at, that kind of thing. If you were to turn that into a graphic, you could put that up on the blog of your website, and then you could advertise that out online, exactly again as Stephen said there, in terms of Facebook and Twitter, such that you could then get references from other sites to your particular site, which would then help you rank better in Google. There's a good chance as well of PR in the mainstream press, the likes of The Independent, The Mirror, The Times might reference this as well for you, basically, which is how you and so there's several benefits to it, the main one of which is an improvement in your rankings on Google.
Wow. I'm just going back to a word you used there, you turn it into a graphic. Now, am I right in thinking that that means you print it out, you scan it so it becomes a JPEG or a PDF? No?
No.
That's how I turn things into a graphic.
Yeah, sure. Well, basically, I mean, it could be. I mean, it could be that if you have a colour scanner. But absolutely, I mean, it could be as simple as that. But generally speaking, when we're talking about it, I mean, if you go to Google and you kind of, if you Google the term of infographic, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And it's basically, these are commonly done in the papers. So I'm guessing if you opened up any newspaper today, you'll probably see an infographic in it. It's basically facts and figures in relation to a particular topic made to look very pretty, and that's all it is. So you have different colours, because obviously if you scan it with a black and white scanner, it's all going to be black and white, so not very visually appealing, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But you generally want very rich colours, and just to make it more kind of interesting and legible to people, I guess.
Like colouring in your school timetable.
Exactly.
So
so you use your blues, your pinks, and your yellows, and it all stands out. Exactly. Yeah.
I love doing that, actually.
I do too.
I'm thinking, I suppose the next thing for florists, just if you're listening there, it's probably Valentine's Day, and I'm sure certain flowers are aphrodisiacs. I'd go for that one, because just keep in mind, sex sells.
That's a great idea.
Good idea.
And advertise. What? Okay, so here's me florist, right? She's got this list of certain flowers. You've mentioned kind of keywords. What would she use, do you think?
Well, it really depends on where they're located and what their services are.
She's in Raheny.
So if it is Raheny, then she's obviously looking to rank for key phrases like flower delivery Raheny, maybe flower delivery North Dublin.
So mention your location.
Well, that certainly would help things for people who are searching for location-specific searches. So
brilliant. Well, look, if people are looking for more advice, again, can you give your telephone number and your email address there, or your website?
Yeah, sure. It's tinderpoint.com and 485-2611.
Thank you. John Ring, Stephen Kinsler, thank you so much. And also Scott Butler for setting it all up, for coming along again. We will certainly look forward to
Thanks, Heidi. Thanks very much.
Thursday next month to find out more about how to make the most of our social media.